after a string of elections indicating Virginia had become an out-and-out blue state, Republican success on November 2nd turned that wisdom on its head. Republican Glenn Youngkin beat Democrat and former Governor Terry McAuliffe, and it appears he brought along Republican candidates in the down-ballot races as well. Joining me to discuss is Rachel Curzius and Jordan Pascal. Rachel, let's start with you. Some headlines are calling this GOP win a rout. Is that really what we're seeing, or is there some context there in the Commonwealth that we're missing?
About a year ago, Biden won the state by 10 points. But it's important to note that the results are very much in keeping with what we've seen from Virginia cycles over the long term. So in 10 of the last 11 governor's races, the party that wasn't in the White House usually won. There is one exception, that one of the 11, who happens to be Terry McAuliffe. He won the governorship in 2013, a year after Barack Obama was reelected as the Democratic president. But what last night showed is that he couldn't repeat that trick this year.
Jordan, Virginia expanded voter access this year, which seems like it should favor Democrats. But what happened with turnout on Election Day?
Actually, Tuesday's election saw the highest voter turnout for a governor's race in the Commonwealth's history. About 3.3 million Virginians cast a ballot, 700,000 more than the previous election for governor. And so turnout was about 53%. The increase largely benefited the Republicans. In terms of who showed up, the southwestern part of the state had the most gain in voters, which meant a wider, older group voting. Exit polls say about 73% were cast by those older white voters, and less than 10% of votes were cast by those under the age of 30.
And if I can just add to that, I think that the common wisdom tends to be that more voter turnout is better for Democrats. But as we found in Virginia this year, or in Texas in 2020, maybe that wisdom isn't so wise anymore.
Rachel, we've been hearing about Loudoun County, it seems like all year, but it was especially in the spotlight in the final months and weeks of this campaign. Remind us why that was and what happened in Loudoun County.
You're absolutely right that Loudoun County schools ended up as a centerpiece of these Virginia elections. And the school system is dealing with a series of debates. We're talking about curriculums that looked at equity and racism, protections for transgender students, as well as mask and vaccine mandates in the schools. And Youngkin's biggest applause line in the final weeks of this campaign were that on day one, we are going to ban teaching critical race theory in our schools. Now, it's worth noting that Loudoun County doesn't currently teach critical race theory in its schools. I guess you could say already campaign promise granted. It seems like that worked for Youngkin. Supporters I spoke with at Youngkin's watch party said that the idea of parental control more broadly was really one that galvanized them when it came to voting for him.
So what was Terry McAuliffe's strategy, and what is the prevailing wisdom on why it fell short?
A big thing that McAuliffe tried to do was to tie Youngkin to Trump. And it really seems like that ultimately didn't hold, that voters were more interested in what was happening specifically in Virginia.
So Virginia now has what looks like a split government, with Republicans in the executive branch and holding the House of Delegates, and Democrats holding a slim majority in the state Senate. How will the Commonwealth legislate during this time?
Youngkin said last night that he has a big agenda for day one, but it'd have to get through a Democratic Senate. Many political analysts I talked to say this could mean more polarization, more entrenchment, and more Washington style of governing. But some Democrats, like current Governor Ralph Northam, are hoping to find that middle ground. He encouraged Youngkin to focus on bringing jobs, boosting the state's rainy day fund, investing in public schools and rural broadband. So, you know, they could find that middle ground where they can work together.
All right. That is Rachel Curzius and Jordan Pascal. For our latest election coverage, go to DCist.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.